Bibles, please, for our second reading to the second chapter of the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, and a great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots, on the tops of the mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so here in chapter 2, the first section 1 through 11, blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. This is what the ministers of the gospel are supposed to do. Let everyone know the judgment that awaits them apart from repentance and apart from Christ. Notice, secondly, let all the inhabitants tremble. Trembling in Scripture is tantamount to reverence for the Lord and humbly seeking his favor, trembling at his word. You remember Isaiah 66. When the Lord causes you to know your sins, blithely going on as if he has not spoken is the opposite of trembling and a brazen flaunting of your sin against him. And note the disfavor of the Lord and what it looks like: darkness, gloominess, clouds, and thick darkness. These are often metaphors in Scripture of the Lord kicking up dust in coming to judge, right? Think of that marauding army way out there in the distance from the top of a wall, and you see here they come with their chariots and all of the dust that follows them, right? That kind of metaphor. All right, so the judgment is coming by the hand of an army. Notice they will cover the land as mourning spread upon the mountains. They are a great and strong people. They are exceptionally and uniquely fitted as the Lord's instrument of judgment. They are, after all, his army. Fire goes before and behind them. Before them, it is like a garden. After they pass by, it's like a desert. It was a garden when they got there. It's a desert when they leave. This is how destructive they are. There is no escape. They have the appearance of horsemen, and they are so very swift. They bring the noise of chariots. There is great fear and disquietness before them as they come. They run, they climb, they march in formation. They do not break their ranks. They are disciplined. They seem not to be wounded. There are no obstacles that hinder them nor stand in their way. They run over the trees, over the walls, over the hills, over everything. The earth quakes and the heavens tremble, the sun and moon become dark, and the stars withdraw at their presence. And finally, the Lord shall utter his voice before them, because they come at his behest, and they bring his great and terrible judgment. And the prophet writes, none will be able to abide. It's one of the most dire warnings in Scripture. It is a difficult, difficult warning that is given to the people for their sins. All right, the second section is a wonderful statement of repentance. Section number 2, beginning at verse 12 through verse 17, a call to repentance. The Lord says, turn to me with all your heart, the Lord calls for a wholehearted repentance. Then bring to me the tokens of repentance, the Lord says. Remember that it is possible to repent without any particular outward signs, but that repentance often has tokens that come with it. Okay? Let's remember that. Let's remember that many times today we hear certain people that they're going to repent of something, and we never see any affectation on them. No weeping, no sadness, no mourning, no fasting, no sackcloth, no nothing. And very often we see that they blithely go on and sin again in the thing that they said they had repented of, which is not repentance at all. Now, let's make sure that we understand that fasting and weeping and mourning and so on, they do not make the repentance either. It is possible to weep and to fast and to mourn and to wear sackcloth and all of that and never repent. Okay? So the Lord is asking for a true repentance, one that is heartfelt and that carries with it the tokens of repentance. Fasting, weeping, mourning. He says, rend your heart. And when he says, and not your garments, he's not forbidding them from rending their garments. What he's saying is, make sure that you're rending your hearts. Make sure that the rending of your garments is not the farthest distance that it goes. Make sure that your repentance is rending your heart as well as your garments. These are the signs, the tokens of penitence and sorrow, the signs of repentance. There is also fruit meat for repentance, right? And if we are going to repent and repent truly, then we ought to do what Christ said, what John the Baptist said, what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul, not in so many words, but in particular practices. That there is indeed fruit that is meet for repentance, or things that we do that testify to a true repentance. These are the kinds of things that we should look for. And so if we had a particular temptation that we fell to, that we would stay very wide of that temptation, right? We would avoid those places, avoid those people, avoid those circumstances, avoid those occasions that have been particularly vexatious to us. What is the other sign of repentance? Not going back to the sin at all, fleeing all temptations and occasions of sin. All right, so then note of the Lord how he reveals himself in this section as one who receives penitence. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil he declared he would do when his people turn and call upon him. It's very interesting, and it is a very good and literal translation from the Hebrew when the prophet says, who knows? Who knows what the Lord will do? Who knows whether or not he will turn and leave a blessing instead of cursing, right? Who knows? It's never too late. As long as the Lord is advertising that it is time to repent, then it is. It's never too late. And when the prophet writes, who knows, the implication is, you know what will happen if you don't repent. There's an end to that course as well. All right, so the call here then is to hazard yourselves upon the mercy of God, for he is gracious and merciful. There is no doubt what will take place apart from repentance. Only judgment awaits. But if you turn to him, there is hope. And because the Lord is merciful, the command is to blow the trumpet, to call the fast and the solemn assembly. None are exempted. Even the most serious and life-changing events are to be forsaken and the fast attended. Because if there is no repentance, there will be no life to enjoy. That's the implication here. So he says, let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her closet and join the fast, join the solemn assembly. In other words, in one of the most celebratory events of life, you should cut off that celebration and come and partake of the fast. That's how difficult the situation has become. All right, then verses 18 through 27. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. And so there are promises here given. The Lord promises a blessing to those who repent. In many ways here, and in typological forms, the Lord encourages his people to repentance with a promise of blessing. This is not merit, this is encouragement. Let us make sure that we understand the difference between the two. There are many times in Scripture where the Lord says, if you do this, I will bless you. Now, that doesn't mean that you have earned that blessing. What it means is that the Lord will hold out this promise of blessing to encourage you toward good works. That's not merit. That is simply the kindness of the Lord encouraging you to the good and for your good. We get confused on this very often. Whenever we read in Scripture, or many, even some theologians, when they read this in Scripture, they say, okay, someone did good and then the Lord blessed them. That means that they earned that blessing. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that the Lord encouraged them in well-doing. We must get this thinking of merit religion out of our minds entirely. Entirely. When the Lord says, if you do this, I will bless you, he's blessing you to encourage you to do that good thing. That's it. And when he punishes you, it's to discourage you from the evil, right? Remember that the punishment is not as bad as you deserve, right? It can't be, because the punishment you deserve is everlasting banishment from his presence. And so, how could then the work that we do earn the good that he does to us? He does that good to us simply to encourage us to continue following him. All right, so if there is no repentance, there can be no blessing. The Lord will not encourage apostasy and spiritual inattention and sloth, but will chastise and bring judgment. Then verses 28 through the end. This is the third chapter in the Hebrew Bible, 28 through 32, because it is such a different topic. It shall come to pass afterward. Now, we are looking down to messianic days. We are looking far beyond any local or temporal blessings. We are looking to the hope of the Hebrew prophets. We are looking to the fulfillment of all of the blessings, the bringing in of the promise and the sending of Christ. And this is what we have here in verse 28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Afterward there in the after days. Remember that these are the last days. These are the afterward times today. We are in the last days. Not since 1948. No, not since then. But since the ascension of Christ and the sending of the Spirit of God, those are the afterward days. You know how I know that? Because the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost picks up this very scripture, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And he says about what is going on in that day when the Spirit of God was poured out like they heard him like a mighty rushing wind. They saw cloven tongues of fire divided and resting on all of the 120. They went out and spoke the great things of God in languages that they had never learned, and people from all over the known world heard as the Spirit proclaimed the message of the gospel through their mouths as they spoke in languages they had never learned. And they said that to Peter, and Peter said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Not, this is that first little fulfillment, and we look for a great fulfillment later. No, he said, this is that day. The day that Joel spoke of in Joel chapter 3, or Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32, is this day. The day when you see what? The Spirit of God being poured out upon all flesh. All kinds of people are receiving the Spirit of God. And what are they doing? They're prophesying. They're speaking. They're speaking the great things of God. They went out from the upper room, and I believe men and women alike went out from the upper room filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in languages that they had never learned. And the people from all over the known world that had come into Jerusalem for the feast of the Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, right? That's what it's called, the 7 weeks. Yeah, that's right. They heard the great things of God. They heard the gospel being proclaimed by those who were filled with the Spirit that day and went out speaking in tongues. Now, what's difficult about that is that they went out speaking in languages that they had never learned, because that was a sign to the Jews that the great and terrible day of the Lord was about to come, which is the second half of the prophecy. The great and terrible day of the Lord means the Lord begins to speak with you in a foreign language, you had better be careful. If the Lord is speaking to you in a language you cannot understand, you'd better be careful. If the Lord is speaking to you in a language that is foreign to you, you had best be careful, because the great and terrible day of the Lord is coming. Now, on this day, in Acts chapter 2, they went out speaking in languages they had not learned, and people from all over the known world heard in their own tongue the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this was that great proclamation that Joel had prophesied. But there were others who were in Jerusalem who heard those languages, and what did they say? They said, these men are drunk. They said, this cannot be from God, because the Lord had hidden that from them. All they heard was what? Blah, 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 blah. And to them it was the sound of judgment, the sound of the great and terrible day of the Lord coming. And come it did. Just a generation or so after that, half a generation or so after that, 70 AD, that house was left desolate. The great and terrible day of the Lord came. Blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun turned into darkness, the moon into blood. These are prophetic terms that mean what? The end of the world. And for the Jewish nation, that's exactly what it was. It was the end of the world, because they refused to hear. Now, there were many that did hear that day. 3,000 souls came to faith in Jesus Christ. 5,000 later came to faith in Christ. And so it was indeed, in some cases, a very wonderful day. But in other cases, it announced the judgment to come. And that judgment indeed did fall. All right, so then how does it end? In verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The Apostle Paul picks up on Joel 2:32 in Romans chapter 10. When he talks about those who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, those are the ones that call upon the name of the Lord. What does he say? Well, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? The word is nigh thee, it is in thy heart and in thy mouth. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, profess with thy mouth and confess in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the preaching of the apostle, and it's the preaching of the prophet. Let's stand and continue praising God.